Tonight we read from a very familiar passage of Scripture. Everybody is aware and knows the story of how Moses was called out of the desert to lead the nation of Israel out of Egypt. And tonight I want to direct your attention to the burning bush. Now I'll just tell you what I'm going to tell you before I tell you. And then after I tell you, I'll tell you again what I told you, okay? I want you to get my point. I want you to get my point tonight. God used the burning bush to change Moses' life. I mean, 40 years earlier, he had thought that he was going to be the one to lead the nation of Israel out of Egypt. He got ahead of God, and I'll mention this again in just a moment. But at that burning bush, God used that bush to change Moses' life. Now, here's my point tonight. Here's what I'm going to try to get across. If God can use a burning bush to change somebody's life, he could use us to change somebody's life. There's people in our lives that their life need to be changed. They need to get saved. They need to find out what God's will is for their life and get about doing it. And if God can use a bush in the middle of the desert to change a person's life, he could certainly use us to change somebody's life. This bush, most Bible scholars think it was 3 to 4 feet tall, and it was a thorn bush. It's not a bush, it was a thorn bush. It had thorns on it. It was insignificant because there was a bunch of them all around. It was unwanted. You would not want this in your vegetable garden. You would not want this bush in your flower garden because it had no beauty, it had no purpose, and yet God used it. The thorns on that bush, I would remind you, were the result of the fall of man in the Garden of Eden. You remember in Genesis chapter 3, God pronounced a four-part curse. And one of those curses was upon the earth that it would bear thorns. He cursed man in Genesis chapter 3 when he said, "You're going to earn your bread by the sweat of your brow." He cursed woman when he said, "In sorrow, you will bring forth children." He cursed the serpent when he said, "You're going to crawl on your belly the rest of your days." And then he cursed the earth because he said, "Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth." And so that thorn bush was in the Midian desert that day because God had cursed the earth and said, "It'll bring forth thorns and thistles." Now, so when we think about thorns, we ought to think about that curse that God put on the earth. And I don't believe it was any accident that a crown of thorns was used to crown Christ at Calvary. He went to Calvary to reverse the curse. He went to Calvary bearing our curse, and so it wasn't any accident. God, throughout the whole Bible, and like I said this morning in Sunday school, man could not write the Bible. We could not hold it all together like God held it all together and tie what happened in Genesis to what happened in Matthew and paint a picture with it all together that talks about our salvation. So thorns, thorn bushes are ugly, they're unproductive, they're unwanted by society. And I've never gone to somebody's house and they've said, "Hey, come out and see my thorn bush in the backyard." I mean, flowers have been pointed out to me, vegetable gardens have been pointed out to me, but nobody's ever said, "Hey, come take a look at my thorn bush." I've never read in a magazine that somebody got an award for growing good thorn bushes. I mean, that Home and Gardens don't pass out awards for thorn bushes. And yet, God reached down to that desert that day, and he took something that nobody wanted, he took something that was cursed, he took something that was ugly, he took something that had no redeeming quality or value, and he put a fire in the midst of it. He put his voice in the midst of it. He put his touch upon it, and he used it to change Moses' life. Now, I want you to think about the way I've described that thorn bush, and I want you to think about how the Bible describes us before we got saved. We were unwanted. We were cursed by God. We had no redeeming qualities or value or beauty. And God can do the same thing with us that he did to that burning bush, to that thorn bush in the desert. He can save us, he can clean us up, and he can use us to change other people's lives. And so tonight, I want you to look at the thorn bush. I'll remind you that Moses had spent 40 years in Egypt prior to this experience, 40 years training, being trained as Pharaoh's grandson. He was being trained to take his rightful place, a place of honor, a place of leadership in the Egyptian government. But as I mentioned before, he got ahead of God. One day he woke up and said, I know that God wants me to lead his people out of Egypt. And he was about 40 years ahead of God on God's clock. And he went out, and you know the story, he ended up killing an Egyptian. He had to run for his life because Pharaoh wanted to kill him. Now he's tending his father-in-law's sheep. His father-in-law was a man named Jethro, a Midian priest. And he's tending his sheep and has been tending his sheep for 40 years in the desert, getting the second part of his education that God wanted him to get before he would go back to Egypt and lead God's people out. And so he stands before this thorn bush. It's burning, and I want you to notice four things tonight. And again, my point is, if God is going to use us like he used this thorn bush, we have to have the same characteristics that this thorn bush had. So here they are. Number one, it was a bush that burned continually. We read it in verse 2. The bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Once God set this bush on fire, it burned and burned and burned and burned and burned. It didn't go out. I mean, the modern day analogy would be the, somebody tell me. I hate it when my daughter-in-law and I think alike. I said, oh man, can't somebody, yeah, the modern day analogy would be the Energizer Bunny that keeps going and going and going and going and going. It doesn't stop. In the same way, that bush kept burning and burning and burning and burning. It didn't go out. And if we're going to be used like that thorn bush was, if we're going to be used to change people's lives, we've got to get the fire of God in our life. And I'll tell you, the fire of God is the Holy Spirit of God. You remember on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came in the form of a tongue of fire and rested on every single person in that upper room. They got the fire of God in their life, and they went out and changed people's lives. They preached, and 3,000 people got saved and baptized in one day because these men got a fire, those people in the upper room got a fire in their life that didn't go out. And if we're going to be used of God to change people's lives, we need to get that fire of God, the Holy Spirit, in our life and let it burn and burn and burn and burn and burn. People need to see it on Sunday morning. They also need to see it on Sunday night. And they also need to see it on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. It's just not a fire that needs to burn on the Lord's Day. It's a fire that needs to burn all week. People need to see it at church. But it also needs to be seen in our homes, where we work, in our neighborhood, and at our family reunions. It needs to be seen the remainder of the month of December, but it also needs to be seen in January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, and November. That fire needs to burn the rest of 2008, but it also needs to burn in 2009 and 2010 and 2011 and on and on and on. It needs to be a fire that burns consistently, day to day, burning for God, not burning one day and out the next day, not up one day and down the next day, a continual burning, a burning that does not go out, a burning like the preacher George Whitfield had in his life. I mentioned George Whitfield at the Christmas banquet last night. He was a preacher in the early days of our nation. He was a contemporary of John and Charles Wesley. And remember, I told you the story last night of Hark the Herald Angels Sing that Charles Wesley wrote. And Charles Wesley he didn't mind people singing his songs and printing his songs, but he got really miffed and upset when people changed the words in his songs. And you that were here last night remember about how he talked about the welcome of heaven from the vaults of heaven. And when Whitfield got a hold of that song, he published it in one of his song books, and he changed the first line. He changed the first line to what we know it today, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And I'm so glad he did. Story goes that Charles got really mad at him, told him he couldn't print any more of his songs. But George Whitfield was a preacher, a great preacher, a good preacher. It is said that one time, in fact, the day that he died, he preached for 3 hours. I have a hard time getting somebody to stay awake for 15 minutes. Can you imagine what would happen if I came in here and I preached for 3 hours? I mean, Brother Dwayne had to leave real quick after Wednesday night because he ran out of air. And if I preached for 3 hours, he'd be gone in the middle of my sermon because he'd run out of air because that's all that tank holds. But can you imagine? For 3 hours, you know, and you know what the people said when he got done? They said, "Preach on, O man of God." And George Whitfield said, "I can't. I'm tired. I'm going to go home and I'm going to go to bed." His congregation followed him home. And on the way home, they were, you know, they're back in the day of horse and buggies and people walked. And all the way home, they begged him, "Would you preach some more? You got to preach some more." So he went up to his bedroom. He had a balcony off his bedroom window, and he came out. It was at nighttime. He says, "I'm going to light a candle, and I'm going to preach until the candle goes out. And when the candle goes out, I'm going to bed." So he lit the candle and he preached for another 2.5 hours. The candle burned down to nothing except melted wax. And finally, the wick was completely burned out and the candle, the light of the candle, was extinguished. Whitfield turned around, lay down in his bed, died, and went to heaven. His fire burned. And kept burning and burning and burning and burning and burning. And if we're going to be like that bush that God used, if God is going to use us today, and by the way, God needs some bushes like this today. He needs some bushes that whose lives he has salvaged from nothingness, who he has lit the flame in their life, and they don't get bitter, they burn. They don't back down, they burn. They don't get their collar up about things, they burn. They don't lay down, they burn. They don't get discouraged, they burn. They don't dip their colors, they burn. They burn, they burn, they burn, they burn, they burn, and they are not consumed. And if we're going to be like that bush that God used to change Moses' life, if we're going to be used of God to change other people's life, to see them come to know Christ, to find out what God wants them to do in their life and help them get about doing it, then we've got to have the Holy Spirit of God, that fire that God will put in each of our lives, and we've got to let it burn and burn and burn and burn 365 days a year, 24 hours a day, every minute of every hour, a consistent burning for God, a fire that burns, and yet we're not consumed. So it burned continually. Number two, this is a bush that got Moses' attention. We read it in verse 3. And Moses said, "I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt." You see, it wasn't unusual for these thorn bushes to catch on fire in Moses' day. In fact, if you go to this desert today, it's not unusual for them to catch on fire today. The hot sun in the desert sparks a heat, and these bushes, these thorn bushes, are dry, and in a few seconds, that heat turns into a small flame, and pretty soon the whole bush is consumed with fire. I mean, it just goes up like it's got gasoline on it. It's so dry that when the heat hits it, it just bursts in the flame. And it burns brightly for a minute or two, and then poof. That's in the Hebrew if you go back and, no, I'm just teasing. But pretty soon it goes poof, and it goes out. Anything you got left is ashes. And pretty soon they're cold and dead and nothing left. And it wasn't unusual for Moses to see that in the desert. I mean, he'd be tending his sheep, and he'd look, and there's a bush just sort of starts burning in a few seconds, a minute, poof, it's out. Quits burning. Next day he goes out, there's another bush. Gets hot, little flame starts. It bursts in the flames and burns for a minute, and poof, goes out. I mean, he probably saw it every day. There are thousands of these bushes in the desert. And they burned and burned and burned and burned. Moses saw it all the time. I mean, that's where he spent 40 years of his life, in this desert. And it was a common day sight, a common sight every day, to see these bushes just burst into flame, burn for a minute, and then go poof and go out. Quit burning. So he saw it time after time after time. It became commonplace to him. In fact, he didn't even notice it. I mean, he'd be tending his sheep, and maybe out of the corner of his eye, he'd see a bush, you know, burning flame, but he didn't turn to look at it. He said, well, I know what's going to happen. It's just going to burn out. It's going to go poof. It'll be gone. Fire will be gone. And I'm sure as he was looking at this one, maybe he caught it out of the corner of his eye. And it was burning. I know what's going to happen. It's going to go out. It's going to go poof. It's going to go all out. Be gone. And so he didn't look at it, just sort of as he thought to himself, man, this one's burning a little while longer than most of them. This one's not going out. This one's not going poof. I mean, it's just burning and burning and burning. Pretty soon Moses turned to look at it, you know, full, not out of the corner of his eye, but look at it full in the face. He said, man, what's the matter with that bush? I mean, all the other ones I've seen, they've just burned for a couple minutes. This one's been burning for 2 or 3 minutes. I mean, what's going on over there? He says, and I'm sure he had helpers that were, helping him watch the sheep. And he said, look, watch the sheep for a little bit. I got to go see what's going on with this bush. I never seen anything like this before. I mean, all the other ones I've seen, yeah, I've seen thousands, probably 10,000 of these things burn. And every other one, they've just gone poof. And they've gone out. There's something different about this bush. I've got to go see what it is. I want to tell you tonight, there are a lot of poofers in churches today. Now, I don't know if that's a word or not. I didn't check my dictionary. Sometimes, you know, preachers take liberty and they make up words. And I know Sierra has been laughing every time I've said poof. So she probably knew where I was going. But there's a lot of poofers in churches today. They get on fire for God, they burn for a while, and then poof, they go out. They come for a few weeks, they get involved in the church, and then poof, you never see them again. They join the choir, and then poof, they're gone. They start to tithe, and then poof, they quit. They come to Sunday school for a while, and then poof, they don't come to Sunday school anymore. They come on Sunday night and Wednesday night, and then poof, you hardly see them on Sunday morning. And I'll tell you, poofers, I got to make sure I pronounce this right, poofers are a common sight. You see them all the time. Every church has a boatload of poofers. And the people that need their life changed, I'll just tell you what, they don't notice the poofers at all. I mean, they see them all the time. They come, they go. They're here, they're gone. They're hot and then they're cold. And the poofers won't change anybody. But wow, let a person get the fire of God in their life. Let somebody come that gets on fire for God and stays and stays and burns and burns. Let a non-poofer come into the midst of poofers. Yeah, this is deep preaching, isn't it, tonight? Doug, you can go home and tell your dad, boy, the preacher really got going tonight talking about poofers. But let a non-poofer come into the midst of poofers and people set up and say, hey, there's something different about that person. There's something I've never seen before, I haven't seen too often. They keep burning and burning and burning for God. I've got to go see what it's all about. And that's exactly what happened to Moses. He saw this bush that burned. He'd seen thousands of them before, but this one did not go out. And he says, I've got to go see it. And the same thing that's true about an individual is true about a church. There's a lot of poofer churches. They come and they go. They get hot and they get cold. They change their standards and they change what they believe. Sometimes they preach the Bible, sometimes they don't. Sometimes they preach salvation, sometimes they don't. The poofer kind of churches are the churches today that are asking people what they want and then giving them what they want. Your preacher never has and never will ask you what you want. I will give you what I think God wants you to have from this book. And we are going to stick by this book and we are going to keep preaching salvation until Jesus calls us home. But a poofer won't change anybody. But somebody that burns and burns and burns and burns will. Number three, something else I want you to notice about this bush. It contained the Word of God. We read it in verse 4. God called to him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. Again, Moses has seen a thousand of these bushes burn, but he never heard one talk before. Never, ever. I mean, this was an ever-burning bush that had something to say. In fact, it was the only bush in the desert that had something to say. The only bush that had the Word of God in it. Okay, Jameson, you ready to help me? In our Sunday school lesson this morning, we talked about the prophet Isaiah and the prophecy that he gave, that God gave Isaiah about the Messiah that was going to be born. In fact, he told him that there was going to be a little baby born, told him he was going to be born of a virgin, and told Isaiah that that little baby was going to be named Emmanuel, God with us. And we talked about Mary. How God communicated to Mary his plan. And then we talked about Joseph and how God communicated his plan to Joseph. Then we talked about how God communicates with us. And I taught Jameson and Darren this morning the different ways that God spoke to different people down through the years. Do you remember how he spoke to Isaiah? In his head. That's why I told him, God put something in Isaiah's head. And Isaiah wrote it down, the prophecy. I don't think God actually spoke to Isaiah with words, but he put words in Isaiah's head, and Isaiah wrote them down. How did God speak to Mary? He sent an angel. An angel came to Mary and said, you're blessed among women. You're going to have a little baby. She said, how can I? I'm not married. And the angel Gabriel said, it's an act of God. How did God speak to Joseph? In a dream. Remember, Joseph was afraid to take Mary to be his wife. And God came to Joseph in a dream and said, no, you go ahead and take Mary because this is part of my plan. And then I asked the two, I said, okay, how does God speak to us today? Don't tell me yet. How does God speak to us today? He doesn't put words in our head. He doesn't send angels to speak to us, nor does he speak to us in dreams. Although some people think they get new revelations from God when they eat bad pizza before they go to bed and they have a bad dream. That's now the way he speaks to us. How does God speak to us today, Jameson? In the Bible. That's exactly right. You did a good job. You remembered. He speaks to us in the Bible. The things that God wants us to know, he's put in the Bible through the Word of God. The burning bush that gets people's attention is the burning bushes. With the Word of God in them. They are people that love this book. They are people that read it. They are people that memorize it. And they are people that spout it every chance they get. Every chance they get. At the burning bush that spoke the word of God, Moses learned three things. Number one, he learned who he was, a nobody. Number two, he learned who God was. When he asked God, when I go to your people and say that you've sent me to lead them to freedom, who should I say sent me? And God said, you say, I am that I am sent you. Not I was, not I am going to be, not I used to be, but you tell them, I am that I am. And then number three, he learned God's will for his life. Moses, I want you to go to Pharaoh. I want you to tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And I want you to lead them to the land of Canaan. You know, if we stay in this book, we'll learn the same three things. We'll learn who we are, a bunch of nobodies. We'll learn who God is, the I am of today. He hadn't changed. He's still the I am. And we will also learn God's will for our life, what he wants us to do, what his plan is for our life. Number four, that bush changed Moses' life forever. We read in verse 4, just the start of it, and he, Moses, said, here I am. When God called out of the bush, Moses, Moses, Moses answered and said, here I am. And again, there's two or three chapters devoted to it, but at the end of those two or three chapters, Moses was clear what God wanted him to do. No longer was he to be just a shepherd, but a leader of God's chosen people, a deliverer. He walked away from that bush, changed forever. His life was never the same. He was used of God in a mighty way. There are people in our life that we know that are under our sphere of influence that need their lives changed. We come in contact with them daily, weekly, but we come in contact with them. They need their lives changed. They need to meet Jesus as their Savior. They need to discover what God's plan is for their life and get about doing it. They need to meet a bush that will get their attention. And a bush that will get their attention is a bush that burns and burns and burns and burns and burns and burns and burns, burning with the Holy Spirit within them, that contains the Word of God. You see, poofers won't get them. Poofers get nobody's attention. But a bush that burns with the Word of God, people will take notice and their life will be changed. And so the question is, will you be one of those bushes? Will you be a bush that burns and burns and burns and burns and burns that contains the Word of God that God can use to change people's lives? Let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the challenge that comes from this book. And Father, I pray tonight that we would be those kind of bushes. We have the Holy Spirit. If we're saved tonight, we have the Holy Spirit. He resides in each one of us. And Father, he has your fire, and if we'd let it burn, it would burn and burn and burn and burn. Help us to be a bush that's consistent day by day, that burns, that contains the Word of God that you can use to change other people. Father, I pray if there's somebody here tonight that doesn't know Jesus, you'd help them see tonight they're a sinner. The penalty of that sin is to be separated from you forever and ever and ever. But Jesus came, he paid the penalty, and if we'll come and receive him, he'll save us from our penalty for sin, make us right with you, give us a home in heaven. If you're just one tonight, Father, that doesn't know Christ, I pray the Holy Spirit will woo them to the Savior, and they'll come tonight and ask Jesus to be their Savior. I pray for the many Christians that are here that you'd speak to our hearts and our lives, our minds. And Father, we'd listen and we'd be obedient. And If there's things in our life that shouldn't be, I pray you'd help them, help us to get them out. If there's things that need to be there that aren't there, I pray you'd help us to get them in. Just help us to be obedient tonight and do what you tell us to do, and we'll give Jesus all the glory. Bless this time of invitation, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.